Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi Maseches Bava Kama Daf Tzadi Hei. We are holding seven lines off the top of the Amid at the two dots. Gozal Poro Muberes V'yolda V'chulu. Says the Gemara Tanu Rabbanan, we have Ibrais. Hagoyz El Rochel Ugozaza. He steals a sheep laden with wool, he holds on to it, and then he shears the wool. Poro V'yolda. Or he stole a cow, and then it gave birth under his care. How much does he repay? We have three opinions. Mishalom Oysa, not only does he pay back the animal, he has to give back the animal that he stole, but he adds, ves gizei seho, ves vodei seho, he has to add the shearings as well. In the case of the cow, which gave birth, he returns the offspring as well. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So according to him, everything, lock, stock, and barrel, the entire package, goes back to the former owner, the fellow who was robbed. So according to Rabbi Meir, although the animal now underwent a drastic transformation, it was shorn of its wool. It gave birth to its offspring. That's really a shinui, drastic change. The gazlan does not keep anything. He has no rights to any part of this package. Rather, everything is restored back to the owner. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he disagrees. Gzela chayr zeres beinel. You give it back the way it is. A shorn sheep. A para without the offspring. But Rashi adds, he has to add something. You see, when he stole the sheep, it was full, it was laden with wool, which increases its value from, let's say, 800 for just a shorn animal without wool. It goes up to 1,000 because it has all that wool. So that's how much he has to pay. He gives him back the empty sheep with no wool, which is worth 800, and adds another 200 as per its value at the time of the robbery. But he does not have to give him back the entire wool. So basically, an animal with its wool is not worth 1,500. The animal with the shorn wool at its side, that's 1,500. He doesn't have to give that back. That's shinui. That's, the change, transformation. That's the gazlan's kinyan, that's his, he keeps it. But he does have to return. He does have to compensate as per the animal's value at the time of the geneva. Rabbi Shimon Omer Royin Oysa Gihilu Hishuma Esle Bekesef. He's similar to Rabbi Yehuda. You don't have to return the entire thing. He gives it, he gives it back to him, and he gets compensated. The gazlan will charge a fee, like a management fee, because after all, he tended to the animal, he took care of it. So he gets back, as per that input, at that effort and that expense. So we have three shittos. Rabbi Meir says everything goes back. Rabbi Yehuda says no, he gives it back empty, without its wool. Rabbi Shimon says he gives it all back, but he gets paid for his efforts. Kilu shuma esle bekesef. There's a set value, a set fee, a market fee for this management. The Gemara will now focus on each one of these three opinions. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, and we'll start with Rabbi Meir. Iboilu, the question was posed. Mai time at Rabbi Meir. Why is it that according to Rabbi Meir, you give it all back, despite that the fact that it went through a drastic shinui from the time of Gezela until now? Is it because Mishum de Kasavra shinui, this change, Bimkoimoy Imid, is not a factor? It's still the same animal. We don't care that it was shorn, that it gave birth. It still identifies with its former owner. The Ganav is not kain anything. He doesn't keep anything. That's one way. Idilma or Ba'al Moshinui Koine. Perhaps typically, if there's a drastic change like this, the Ganav is Koine and no longer has to return everything to the owner, rather only as per the time of the Geneva. So why is it different? V'hocha Knosu the Kukanis. Rabbi decided to add a Knas, to apply a penalty, to penalize this robber, this thief. What are you doing stealing animals? We don't want you to make money off the deal. We don't want to encourage further robbery, further thievery. Rashi calls it shelo yehi chayter. We don't want a violator nisker to gain, to benefit, to make money off the deal. So give it all back. So we know he gives it all back. Question is why? Is it because we ignore the shini factor and it's all the original owners? It's rightfully his? Or no, it's rightfully the ganav's. But on account of this penalty, he gives it all back. So the point is pretty much one and the same. Everything is restored. Question is why? So what's the difference? If it's because of this or because of that? What's the difference? Very simple. If it went down, if it dropped in value, let's say the animal got weak. It's suffering from a health ailment. Some sort of weakness has descended on the animal. So it dropped in value since the time of the Gneva. So if the point is that Shinoi change is ignored, so give it back. Whether it increased in value or decreased, it all goes back the way it is. But if the point is that Shinoi is a Kaina, so the Ganav really now took possession because of this change, it's no longer considered the original entity, it's just because we don't want it to gain on the deal, so we require full repayment, that's only applicable when it went up in value. We don't want you to gain on the deal, but if it went down, just give it back as is. So that would be the difference between the two schools of thought. Toshma, here comes an attempt at proving the real reason for a mayor's halacha, that everything is returned. We have a Mishnah. Gazal behemah v'yiskino. The ganav stole an animal, and it grew into, old ripe age, and now it's much older and obviously worth less. Avadam v'yiskino. Or he stole an eved, and it grew old to the ripe old age of 80. Okay, same entity, the same person, but it's worth much less. How much? Now comes time for a payback. The ganav wants to come full circle. He wants to make up for his misdeeds. How much? Mishalim kishasa gzela. According to the Tanakhama, the Rabbanon, you go back in time. How much was this animal or this eved worth when it was stolen? Rami Omer, I agree by the animal, but by the ba'avada, by the slaves, a slave is considered like an asset, like karka. And halachically speaking, there's no actual stealing when it comes to land. Practically, you don't take possession of it. Maybe you threw the owner off his land, but you don't have that kinyan gazelle. You haven't really taken possession. It's always still attributed to its owner. Same thing with an evet. It's an asset. Therefore, says Rav Meir, even though the evet just underwent a drastic change, he's very old, he's a different entity. An evet is not really stolen. Here, take it back, it's yours, leave me alone. But that's only by the evet because of this special reason. But even Rav Meir agrees that you can't just give him back the old animal. Rather, you have to repay him based on its value during the gzela, despite the fact that there was a drastic shinui in the interim. Apparently, Rav Meir ignores shinui. If you're going to tell me, Rav Meir holds that shinui is ignored, is not a factor at play. So why does Rav Meir say, if the behema got old under the ganav's care, you can't just give him back the animal? It's a shinui. That loss is applied to the ganav. No, you have to go back in time. You have to pay him according to the value during the ganeva. Apparently we reckon with shinui. You can't just take this and give it back. It's yours. It's the ganav's, right? Because of the shinui. It's not considered the same exact entity anymore. Because otherwise, why just give him back the behemoth the way it is? I feel behemoth now. Ela lav shma mino kasavar Rameir shini koina. Clearly, Rameir holds when there's a shini, the ganav is koina. The only way to really repay is to repay former value. V'ocha kasa, the kakanis. So why in our story with the animal that was shorn, says Rameir, it all goes back. What do you mean? Shinui. There's a knas. We penalize him. Is that a true conclusion? Amri. So the response given was as follows. Not necessarily. Rab Meir l'devreim d'rabbanu k'amarlo. You know, sometimes you have one Tana sort of relating to the other, to his opponent's opinion. You know, I hold one thing, but let me just relate to you for a moment. Even according to you, such and such and such. L'didi, Rab Meir speaking, look, according to my personal opinion, Shinu ain't koine. Shinu is not a factor. Still the same entity, okay? And even by the animal that grew old, you can just give it back as is. That's my personal opinion. However, even according to your stand, that Shinu is a factor, it's a new entity. So that explains why you can't return the old Eved. But at least by the Eved, agree to me. It's like karka. It's an asset. It's in a part of your estate. It's like karka. You can't steal. It's not stolen. And therefore, v'karka ain't an exilus. There's no halachic concept of stealing by karka. So therefore, it was always considered in his owner's possession. So although he's very old, just give him back. That's my response to you, says Rav Meir. I'm related, Rabban respond, no, loy, avdo, can metal to the dummy. We treat an Eved like any other object. It's stolen. There's a shinoi, the ganav has to absorb that loss, and therefore he has to pay him according to former value. So we tried to prove Rameya Shita, we couldn't really conclude, Toshmai comes another attempt. Is it that Rameya holds Shinu is not Kaina? Or Shinu typically is Kaina? But over here we apply a knas, which requires full payment. Toshma, let's violate other. So I give the professional dyer raw material, raw wool, dyed red. Mitzavay Shachar, the fellow had some extra black dye, decided to do it black. Or the other way, Shachar Esther black, with somebody other, he did it red. How much does he have to compensate me? Just my raw material? Or the truth is that, you know, even though it's the wrong color, but it's still worth more. So that additional worth, who's it belong to? That's Shinu, right? Rameo Imer Nisnan made Simri. All he has to return is the actual raw material, the value of the raw material, that's it. The dyer, the professional, keeps the extra. Dmei Tzimri in, only the actual material does he have to repay. Dmei Tzimri u'shvachay, but the added value, lo, he doesn't have to repay me that. But for me, it would hold that change is not a factor. Even if it was changed from red to blue, it's still mine. It still does not revert to the professional's, to the dyer's possession. Dmei Tzimri u'shvachay by the Mesev Leis. How should he restore? How much should he compensate me? The entire value, raw material and its current value. It's all mine. Ela lav shmami. No, clearly Rameir holds Shinu is not a factor. Sorry, Shinu is a factor. Because of Rameir, Shinu koine, because it was a Shinu. Right? Just change colors and all that. Makes it his. And therefore, all he gives me back is raw material. Vahacha. Now a case with the animal. That was sure. The reason why. He's fully responsible. He has to repay it all, despite the shinoi. That's because of a penalty. So according to this first piece of Gemara, we discussed Rav Meir Shita, that shinoi is kaina, but we don't want the ganav to gain, and therefore he has to repay it all. But Rashi points out, in the case of the wrong color, there's no point of penalizing him. Rashi says, you know, he didn't realize, he overlooked it, it wasn't inadvertent. So there, we don't apply a knas, and we allow the fellow to keep the extra. Ikad de Amri. Here comes the second edition. Another version of this whole discussion. There's no question, no doubt, that according to Rav Meir, the halacha is based on knas. How do I know? Mita'afich Rav v'tanim. Because Rav had a different version of that Mishnah with the Eved and the old animal. He switched around the names between Rameh and Rabban. Mida'a fichrav v'tani. Gozal para v'yiskinu. Ava adam v'yiskinu. He stole the animal, the slave, and they got old. Mishalem k'shasa gzela. Div Rameh. Rameh rolls. It's all based on the value at the time of the geneva. V'chacham are the ones who disagree, and they say, Ava adam, when it comes to a slave, right? It's different. He just returns it as is. Emer loy, here take it. Harish l'chalafanech. So clearly, vada the Rav Meir shinikoyne. Clearly, according to Rav Meir, change is reckoned with, right? And that's why he has to go give him, pay him according to the value at the time of the theft, because in its current state, it belongs to the guy. But now, sugi with the animal that he has to return at all, it must be because of a penalty. Knas of the kekana slave. So that's a given. So according to the second edition, the Gemara is no question as to the rationale behind Rav Meir's shita. It's a knas. But the question is as follows. How far does Rav Meir go with that knas? Does he only apply it to a mazid, when he deliberately defied his wishes, or even by something inadvertent? Because it might lead to a mazid. Kika yiboyla. The question is like this. Hocha yiboyla. Kika kanas. When Rav Meir applies a knas, is it only by mazid? Avo b'shoigi, but was mistake, loy kanas. He doesn't apply the knas. Idilma or, afilu b'shoigi nami kanas. Even by Shagik, perhaps, as well. Tashma, we're going to try to prove it from the following interesting halach. Chamisha goyven mechurara. In the following five cases, one can only collect from mechuraran. He has this, you know, monetary claim. You can only collect from assets which are available, free and available, as opposed to those who were sold after this, claim was initiated. So typically you can collect even from mishubadim, assets which were sold off after the loan was issued, but in these cases, these are exceptions, and they're discussed at length in Maseches Bava Metzia. But we're just going to go briefly over them and pull something out of this with reference to Ahu Gemara. Okay, so we have Veiluhin. The following five are Peiros, or Shvach Peiros. He's collecting for his lost crop. Shvach Peiros, Rashi says, is discussed in above a mitzvah, a makabel olav lozen has been ishtoi, a bas ishtoi. You have a situation where a person committed to support his stepson or stepdaughter. V'get choiv she'en bo achrayis. Or if we have a loan document, a get choiv, get can sometimes mean a shtar, so it's a shtar for a choiv, for a loan. But typically, there's achrayis in that shtar, which indicates that the borrower is committing himself and all his assets, which he may sell. So I'm allowing you to collect from those as well, but if it does not have that clause, that only allows me to collect from available assets, free assets, which were not sold after the loan was issued. And finally, we have a similar case, a marriage document, but it has no achrayis clause. So basically, in all these, you can collect from michuroren, available assets, as opposed to the ones that were sold. Now, the fact that we're even reckoning with the fact that it's missing the achrayis clause, and that disables me from collecting as I would normally collect. Man shamasle de Omar, who's the opinion, who's the shita that holds achrayis, when ishtar is missing the achrayis clause, lav tos sefer, we don't attribute it to the sefer describes mistake, oh, he just left it out, because it's so standard, why'd you leave it out? Maybe it's a mistake. No, we don't say that. Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir's shita, and if it's missing the achrayis, there goes your ability to collect from the committed assets. Okay, so that's the point. We're establishing that this price is Rav Meir speaking. Okay, once we know that, what is contained in this price? What are the examples cited in the price? Uktani, we have Peiros or Shvach Peiros. Now what does that mean? Shvach Peiros, Heichi Dami. The crops which improve the value of the... why am I collecting? What's going on? Kigoyin, as follows. Shigoz al sodim mechaber. Shimon stole Reuven's field. Umachor la'achar. He turned around and sold it to Levi. V'hishbich. And Levi invested effort, time and money into producing a crop of bananas. Now Reuven comes back to take his field. V'arehi yoytze metachas yodei. So now Levi's going to lose the field back to Reuven, the real owner. And there goes the field with my bananas. Kishu gaiva. So when Levi turns around and collects, gets restitution from Shimon, the thief who sold it to him, so the actual purchase price, the actual, you know, keren, that he collects from anything, even from assets that Shimon may have sold after this sale, because that's a regular claim, it's like a regular loan, and you're bound to me first. But the added value, the, you know, for the bananas that I lost, I can get it back from you, but I'm limited. Only from available assets. Okay, this is a discussion which is not really our sugya, but bottom line is, it's clear that Levi is looking for restitution. He's looking to be compensated for everything. Apparently he lost everything. Who took it from him? Reuven, the real owner. The Asabal Aravish Shakil. Apparently Reuven, the real owner, grabbed the field with the produce, with the crop, with the bananas. Why? What happened to the Shinoi element? It was a drastic change. It was an empty field when it was stolen. Now it's full of bananas. What happened to Shinoi? Why can't Levi hold on to that? My love, so we're assuming, it must be speaking by Maritz. Now, Levi was not a learned fellow. The Layada, he wasn't really proficient with the halachis. He didn't know the karka negzelas, or in negzelas, whether or not the concept of thievery applies to land. We discussed this before, because in reality, it doesn't. It's not really considered, you know, practically stolen. Right? So the halachis of Shinoi don't really apply. But Levi, as being an Amaretz, he didn't realize that. He thought that Shimon the Ganav actually, you know, sort of took possession of the field now, and now he can give it to Levi, and Levi will own the extra banana. You know, it's considered a proper sale. He was allowed to buy it from Shimon and, you know, get working on the field. He didn't realize that the field technically still was in, you know, in Reuven's possession. Right? He thought that the, you know, the Goslin took possession. It was Yush because the owner gave up on it and it sort of reverted to Shimon's, you know, ownership. And now Levi can just buy. He didn't realize that, you know, that was erroneous. So thinking along those lines, he's thinking that he's justified in buying the karka from Shimon. It's sort of, you know, now Shimon's possession, and how he can buy it. It's not considered stolen goods, right? So even though it was sort of inadvertent, he didn't mean to, you know, undo the real owner. And still, what do we say? When payday arrives, Levi loses everything. The real owner, Reuven, takes everything. He takes the land with the shvach, with all the additional value, with the bananas. Why? What happened to Shinoi? This clearly tells us, this is Rameir speaking, as we established. The knas, the penalty, applies even by shaygig, such as in this case. Give it all back. Doesn't that prove our point? The Rameir extends his knas to even shaygig. Amri, the answer is no. Loi, b'lekech tamad chacham. Levi was a learned man. V'yada, he knew full and well. Karka, eino nigzelis. There's no concept of theft by karka. It's always still connected. It always identifies as Reuven. He had no business buying it from Shimon. So it's mazed. Deliberately, you know, interfered with somebody else's property. And therefore, when payday arrives, everything goes back. Tashma. But here comes another raya. Again, what are we trying to figure out? Whether the knas, to return everything, applies just by mezid or even by shegig. We have the story with the mistaken color, right? I gave him the wool, it's by layadam, to make him red, it's by shachar, he did it black. Shachar, it's by yadam, right? Ramei Aymer, nice and light made simrai. The fellow has to pay back just for the raw material. And he keeps the added, you know, value of the dyed material. Tzimrayin, only the actual wool is he responsible for. He doesn't give back the dyed wool. The extra value belongs to the painter. Now, if you shall tell me that the knas applies even by shogeg, so let's assume, let's give him the benefit of the doubt, says Rashi, that it's a shogeg. He didn't realize, you know, he's thinking he's doing the owner a favor. He wanted it red. Oh, come on. Black is classy, right? So he's thinking that's allowed. So it's a shogeg. V'isakadaitach b'shogeg namikonis. If he shall say that the knas, to return everything, applies even by shogeg, so in this case as well, he should have to return everything. D'meit simrei u'shvachai ba'i should be required to give him back. El alash ma'ina, this proves our point, that only b'mezid, when he deliberately stole, we say that he's required to return everything. Kanis, we apply the knas, b'shegi le'kanis, but by yeshegi, Rameh does not apply the knas, shema, you know, that proves our point. Okay, so bottom line is, we spoke about a fellow who stole an animal, sheared it, or an animal gave birth, so now he has much more value. How much does he have to repay? So we focused on Ramir, everything. Why? Even though Shina is kind, it should really belong to the Gazlan, Knas. Knas is only by Mezid, but not by Shekik. Rabbi the Aymer Gzela Chayzeres Behineo. Rabbi disagrees. Just give it back as is, without the wool. Shina is kinda, we don't make it, you know, knas. Rabbi Shimon Aymer, Royin Oysa Kihilu Yishuma Esle Bekesef. Rabbi Shimon says, technically, he gives it all back, but then the ganav is entitled to demand payment for his effort. He gets his management fee. Says the Gemara, might be nice. So, what's going on between these shittos? Meaning that, clearly, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon disagree with Rabbi Meir's idea that everything goes back as is. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and so does Rabbi Shimon. The ganav is entitled to keep this extra value. Shini is kaina. But what's the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir? And Rabbi Shimon? Might be nayu. Amar Zvid, here it goes. Bishvach shal gabi gzeil kamitlaki. Let's say the animal itself still has its added, you know, element on itself. You know, the wool is fully grown and sitting on the sheep. Right? So the shvach is on the item. It's not been removed. It's not been sheared off. It's still on the animal. Who does that go to? Rabbi Yehuda Savar Dinigzal Havi. You know, that much, you can't take that away from him. If it's sitting on the actual animal, it belongs to the Nigzal, the real owner. It's part of his animal. It's an expansion of it, of the owner's animal. You don't deserve to keep it. Rabbi Shimon Savar, the Gazal Havi. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Even though it's still sitting on the animal, that's called Shinoi. It underwent a change, a transformation. That added value belongs to the Gazlan. The Gazlan Havi. So bottom line, if the animal's, you know, wool was shorn, Rabbi Meir says, again, everything goes back to the owner, Knas. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon disagree. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda says, you give him, you know, the empty, the shorn sheep, plus, as we explained before, you have to add based on what it was worth during the theft. That's it. Okay? But between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, we have this additional machlekes as well. Shvach that's still present on the animal. The long wool that's sitting on the animal itself, which grew under the ganav's care. Rabbi Yehuda says, that all goes back to the owner. Rabbi Shimon says, no, even that. That's a change. It's an added value that happened under his care. And we just, you know, reckon how much the animal was worth during the theft, and that's what he pays him. Everything else the ganav keeps. The Gazan Havi. Rav Papa Amar, he disagrees. The Kuli Amu Shvach Shal Gabi Gzeila, the Gazan Havi. Everybody agrees. The added features on the actual animal belongs to the Gazlan, because that's called a Shinu, it's a change, and he's kind of that. The question just is, how much of it can he keep? So according to Rav Papa, it's the other way around. Rabbi Yehuda will hold that the ganav gets more than Rabbi Shimon holds. Do we have to just give him a management fee, 50%, a third, a quarter, you know, standard, you know, market management fees? That's the machlekes. Is it just that, or does he keep the entire added feature? Rabbi Yehuda Savar Shvach Shagab Igzela, the added benefit, the added element, even though it's found on the actual item itself, Kulei the Gazlan Havi, it all belongs to the Gazlan. He's kind of a Shina, it is. Rabbi Shimon Savar, no, he only gets part of it as per management fee. Lamechza, Lushlish, Vilarviyah, the Shaka, only that does the Gazlan take. So bottom line, we have machlokes regarding Shvach that's still on the Gzela. According to Rav Zvid, Rabbi Yehuda holds it all belongs to the Nigzal. Rabbi Shimon says it belongs to the Gazlan. According to Rav Papa, it's the other way around. Rabbi Yehuda says it all belongs to the Gazlan. Rabbi Shimon says, well, part of it. Tanan. Here comes the Kasha from the Mishnah. Gazal Parav in his Abra Etzle. This is our Mishnah back in the beginning of the Perek. He stole the cow, it was not pregnant, then it became expectant. Yolda, and it gave birth under his care. Rachel stole a sheep, binat ana etzlay, it got, you know, full of wool under his care, vigazla nisho, and he shore the wool, right? Remove the wool. Mishalam kishasak zeil, the Mishnah says, in this case, how much is he responsible for its value at the time of the theft? Yolda in. Oh, that's only because the animal already gave birth under his care. Lo yolda, but let's say it has not yet given birth, but it became expectant under his care. It would sound from the Mishnah that what happens? Hadra be'ena. He has to return it as is, with the contained shvach, which is the shvach shagab exhale, right? That's our discussion. So who's the shita that holds that everything goes back to the owner? Bishlam l'Rav Zvid, the Amar shvach shagab exhale, the nixal havi, l'Rav Yehuda. So according to Rav Zvid's approach, the Rav Yehuda would hold in this case, the added value is so part and parcel of the item, it goes back to the nixal. Doesn't relate to the gazlan. It's part of the nixal's entity. Okay? So according to that shita, the Rav Yehuda holds it all goes to the nixal. So this mishnah is Rav Yehuda, Hamani Rav Yehuda. According to Rav Papa, who says that according to all Rabbi and Rav Shimon, this added value belongs to the Gazlan. Hamani. So who's speaking in the Mishnah? Loi Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Rav Shimon. It's not Rabbi Yehuda or Rav Shimon. Amalek Rav Papa. Rav Papa will respond like this. Hu adin afil lo yol donami kishasak zeilo de mishalim. You know what? Even if the animal had not yet given birth, so he stole the empty animal, became pregnant under his care, and now he wants to give it back. Even in this situation, he would not have to totally give it back, only based on its value during the theft. Why? Because it belongs to the gazlan. So why then does the Mishnah pick an example of an animal which gave birth? Why do we need to give birth for him to keep the extra? I did the Nasev Reshi Yolda, Nasev Nami Sefer Nami Yolda, because in the first part of the Mishnah we had to discuss a case where it gave birth. That's the point of the Mishnah there, because we're trying to bring out that it only has to pay according to its previous value. So that's why in the next case we also discuss a case where it gave birth, but it's not necessarily required to illustrate the halacha. Because even if it's still pregnant, the ganav has the right to keep that extra value. Tanik of Asidra Papa, we're going to prove Rav Papa's approach is correct. Rav Breiser, Rav Shimon Oimer, in this case where the animal has that extra value on it, Royin Oisa, Rav Shimon Oimer, Royin Oisa, Kilu Shuma Esle Bekesef, Lemechza, Lishlish Ravir, Rav Koin, Rav Shimon. He gets, but you know, not totally, he gets based on the management type of system, 50% or a third or a quarter. So clearly, Rav Shimon will hold that technically, at least a good portion of this extra belongs to the gazlan, which is as per Rav Papa's approach. Amar Rav Ashi, ki avina b'Rav Kahana. We were once by Rav Kahana. We had a question. Yiboyelam. L'Rav Shimon de Amar l'mechzo l'shlish l'rvia. Okay, let's focus on Rav Shimon. He gets a portion, a percentage of this, you know, of this gain, right? By Hudashakal Gazlan, right? So Gazlan gets this percentage. Question is, how does he collect this this fee? Ki misalkinele b'dmei misalkinele? Do we have a right to just, you know, pay him off, write him a check? Or can he insist on taking a portion of the actual animal? Look, I improved it, I worked it. I invested in the animal. I have a, you know, part ownership in the animal. Or can we just write him a check? That was the question. Now we concluded, we tried to, you know, conclude based on a raya. Shmuel tells us a similar halacha, a case where a person has a sort of claim, and same question arises. Does he get a stake in the actual thing, or can we just write him a check? In three cases, we have to sort of evaluate the added value and compensate this person, but we can do it by way of just writing him a check. Which three cases are we speaking about? Bechor lepashut, as Rashi explains. So the firstborn, Bechor, was entitled to, you know, double inheritance. And what happened was, before the brothers divided the karka, the estate, it improved, went up in value. So the Bukhar has to sort of give part of the, he has to pay off his brother, because he's only entitled to a double portion pertaining to the estate, the actual original estate. But the shvach, the added value, that he's not entitled to double portion on that. That wasn't in his father's possession, right? It happened after the father passed away. So he has to sort of compensate his brother because he took too much. He took double from the actual asset and from the shvach. So that extra he has to pay his brother. Lepashut, he has to give the brother payment for that. That's one example. Ubachayv lekeach. Ubachayv lisayn. So Bachayv lekeach involves a case where the creditor came to collect his loan, which went into default. He goes after the properties, in this case, that were sold to another customer after the loan was issued. So he has a right to extract that. But what about the investment? The guy, he was mashbiach. The customer invested and improved on the land. So that part he can't take. So he'll take the field, but he'll have to compensate and pay him off for that extra. Uba'chayv li'yisayimim is another example. So their father had the bank was after the father and after default on the loan, the bank came and collected the assets belonging to the kid, the yisayimim. And so it happens that the assets had already sort of improved and increased in value after father passed away. So the Baal Chayv, the bank, has to pay off the assignment for the extra, benefit, the extra value, which really they shouldn't be collecting because it's part of the, it belongs to the assignment, not to your father. So we have three situations where compensation is required. In all three, we say, look, you don't have to give him a slice of the actual, you don't have to leave behind a piece of the property. You can take the entire property, but you have to sort of pay him for the shvach, the added value, which you owe him for. So bottom line is that in our case as well, the Goslin insists on getting a portion of this added value. He wants his management fee. That doesn't entitle him to an actual stake in the actual item. Rather, we write him a check, and he's taken care of that way. Asks the Gemara, Amar Ravina L'Ravashi, Mi Amar Shmuel, Bachayv lelekeach, yev lishvach. Is that true? Can that be that according to Shmuel, the Balchayv has to compensate the fellow for the added value, for the shvach? He can't just take it all and walk away, really? But Amar Shmuel himself tells us, he takes it all. Balchayv gave us a shvach. The bank could just walk away with everything, without need to compensate at all. Amar Lasi responded, well, it depends how developed this crop is, this shvach. Loikash, the answer is like this. Kam b'shvach ha-magil k'safayim. If the crop is so developed, magil k'safayim is just an expression, right? Tosfos says it's, the crop is ready to be picked and, carried on your shoulders. Basically, it means to say that it's ready to go. Fully ripe, ready to be picked. So that no longer relates to the actual property. You have no right to just walk away with that. You have to compensate him for that. V'kan b'shvach she'ein magil k'safayim. But if the crop is not yet fully grown, it's not yet fully finished, it still relates to the land, so then you just take it as one big package. You don't have to compensate him. Says him, Amar Leih, so he responded, what do you mean? Look around, every day, look what we do. Because Magbi Shmuel afilu shvach hamagil k'safayim. Even when it's fully done and ready to go, Shmuel himself allows the Baal Chayv to take it all without compensation. Amar Leih, he responded, like Kasha answers like this. Ha demasik bey kishur ara ushvacha. It depends how large the loan, how big the loan is. If the amount owed covers the land value and the shvach as well. So then, he has the right to take it all without paying him anything. Right? It's all owed to me. It's all part of the land. That's it. It's part of my claim. Oh, but the halacha, what Shmuel says, you have to compensate, is speaking where my loan doesn't really cover everything. Delay masik bay. Elok ishir ara. My claim is only as per the value of the land, right? Which is $1 million. That's what I'm owed. That's what I want to collect. The bananas are beyond $1 million. So although I'm going to take it, but I have to compensate you for that. So the question is like this. Why do I have a right to go take the bananas? At all. Normally, hanicha lemanda amar. That all works. According to the Shita, it says, there's an interesting machlekes in Bava Metzia. Let's say the buyer of this land, he bought it off the borrower, right? A person borrowed money, he sold his land, and the customer now is confronted by the bank. Question, can the customer just pay off the bank? Does he have a right to do that? Could the bank say, look, our claim lies on this field, we want the field? So I'm like this. That's only according to the Shita, which says, the customer happens to have access to money, which he's going to offer to the bank. He has no right to demand that the Balchayv accept the money. Balchayv says, I want the land, that's my shibud, that's the object of my claim. So according to that approach, Shapir, we could very well understand that even when the loan amount just equals the land amount and doesn't really cover the crop, so despite the fact that the crop is beyond the loan amount, still we understand why the bank has a right to collect the land with the crop. So fine, they have to compensate me for the crop that they took, but they have a right to take the entire thing because their claim lies on the actual tract of land and the crop comes along with it. Right? So you understand why they can walk away with it. They have to pay me for the extra crop, but they can take it. Ela lemanda amar. But according to the other opinion, which says, the option is mine. The customer happens to have access to money with which to pay off the bank. He has a right to do that. He can say, look, take money and leave my land alone. So clearly, his claim is not specific to the land. It's just a means of collecting his loan. So why can't I just tell the bank, look, lamely? So let the customer tell the Baal Chayv, look, imagine I would have had money to pay. I don't, but imagine I would have had access to money. I would have just shooed you away with the money. I would have chased you off the entire land. Here, take the money, bye. Now that I'm a poor guy, I don't have the money. Right? So you have to take the karka. But what right do you have to take everything? Have the grave of Dara, leave me a little tract of land, shir shvachai, equal to the amount of the added shvach, the part that I invested, the added value that came later. You have no right to collect. Meaning, if your claim is land specific, fine, you take the whole thing, you have to pay me back for the shvach. But if you're not really, this land is not really earmarked for you specifically. It's just a means to collect your loan. If I would have money, I would pay you money. So you have no right to take more than your loan. Amar Lisi responded, was speaking that the land was earmarked. Hach Ma'eskin was speaking about a special case. The borrower actually earmarked this piece of land. Apoiteki is a joint word. Your claim would lie on this field. So he sort of labeled it. He earmarked it. Your claim is land specific. Alright, the Amalei told him, Lo yehelecha piroin el mizeh. When you collect, on account of a default, you're going to collect this field, only this field. So it's earmarked for him, so it is land specific. So if he takes the entire thing, but the value that came later, the shvach, invested by the buyer, that he has to pay for, and that's the subject of our discussion. Bottom line, we had a brisa, person stole an animal, it improved, it was a shinoi, Ramirez says it all goes back to the victim, Knas. And we concluded the Knas is only by Mezid. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon disagree. And actually, they discuss another case as well. If the Shvach still present on the actual item, on the animal, what happens there? Whether it's Zviz approach or a Papa's approach, it belongs to the Gazlan, to the Nigzal, he gets a management fee. And we discussed, well, if there's a management fee arrangement, can he demand a portion of the actual item? Does it denote part ownership, or can we just, you know, shoo him away, write him off a check? And that seems to be the consensus here, that you can do that, as per the other cases of Shmuel, which allow for that as well. All the best to you, and Atzlacha Rabbah.